Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Friends, good morning, families. How are you?
I am doing fine.
Good, my friend Brian Hawkins over there. I'm Lainey Kleeman. You are listening to The Beacon on this lovely Saturday morning of fall. We've had a beautiful fall week, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Gorgeous. I love it. The brisk weather, the trees are turning. It's a perfectly, like, I turned my fireplace on last weekend for the first time, got all snuggled up under a blankie, listened to the rain on my windows. It was just blissful.
Yeah, we even had 85 degrees.
Yes. And then we had 85 degrees. Right.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Slept with my window open one night.
Yes.
It was pretty cool.
Yes. I opened all the windows up this morning, actually. And my daughter's room smells like a teenage boy locker room. So it was definitely time to
open the window. Has she been entertaining teenage locker? Teenage boys?
She better not be. No, I think she's just at that age where, you know, they're changing and things start smelling. So I opened up her room this morning. Hopefully I'll get home and it will be, you know, smell fresh like a morning dew in her room. But
yeah,
we'll see.
There's lots of things out there that you can take care of that.
Yes. Yes, there is. So so my birthday was last weekend.
Oh, that's right.
And
Happy birthday.
Oh, no. Thank you. I don't say that for any, like, my birthday was last weekend. Happy belated birthday to me. But I'm saying that because I took my kids downtown and did the double-decker bus tour.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No.
It's really cool. The day was like pretty pleasant out. It wasn't super warm, but we bundled up and it was fine. But TJ, my son, has been obsessed with double-decker buses lately. And so he's, you know, always looking online at Lego double-decker buses. Da, da, da. So when I told him that Chicago had double-decker buses, it got him very excited. So for my birthday, I decided that I'd take the kids downtown and we would do that. And it was really, like, interesting. Like,
what's interesting about a double-decker bus?
They do a tour, basically. So, you know, as you drive by these kind of obscure buildings, they're like, oh, this is where the mafia da-da-da-da was gunned down. And if you look closely at the wall, you can see the bullet holes still. Like, I knew Chicago obviously had a mob-filled history, but I've never engaged with it. Yeah, so it was, I enjoyed it.
Is that the gangster tour?
It wasn't. It was just a regular tour? Yeah, just hop on, and it's a hop-on, hop-off tour, so I think there's like 15 different spots around Chicago that you can hop on and hop off, and while they're driving between the stops, they give you a little history of the city, and you know, I really, like, TJ got restless after 20 minutes. You know, of course, he's like, great idea, let's anticipate it for weeks. And then we get there, and 20 minutes into it, he's like, I'm going to go to McDonald's.
But he was more into the bus than he was the tour.
Yes, right? Of course.
It's like, how do they do that? They
right.
have two levels.
Right.
I want to climb the second level. Has he been exposed to the commuter trains? They have two levels.
The Metra, no, I don't think he's ever taken a Metra.
Oh, see?
Yeah, big day. We should have taken the Metra to the double-decker buses.
Upgrade.
That would have been a day. Yeah. Maybe we'll do that next weekend. I mean, shoot, just a trip downtown on a train would probably thrill him, and it's easy enough to do. So we'll see. And then we ended up at Navy Pier, just kind of wandered in that direction, and took a ride on the big wheel, the Ferris wheel down there, which I hadn't been on in probably a decade. But I will tell you what. Do you know how much it costs for me to get on the Ferris wheel?
$30.
It was $18.
Oh.
$18. And then my kids were like $15 a piece. But it was a $50 ride for my kids and I to go on the Ferris wheel.
All three of you?
All three of us. It was $50.
Wow.
Or like $48, which I just feel like is, I mean, it's.
Did you have a seat all to yourselves?
Well, we had they're like pods now. Like the Ferris wheel. I think, didn't they renovate the Ferris wheel? I don't know.
I stay away from
five,
those
six,
things.
Seven, 8 years ago. but the pod, they're kind of like pods and they're indoors, like they're insulated now. So when you go in, it's like four person to a side of a pod. And they just let you go in with your family. So we're not like sitting in there with strangers. And then you go around, I don't know, I think we went around three or four times and got off.
And what did you see?
$50. The Chicago skyline,
were
the lake.
Were you afraid or anything like that? Or?
You know, at the very top, it's a little sketchy.
I've never been on a Ferris wheel. Don't anticipate going on.
Really?
Ferris
Are you afraid of heights?
I don't know. I've never been up high.
You've never flown?
I've flown, yeah.
Oh, okay. And are you twice. Okay with flying? You've only flown twice in your life?
That is correct.
Holy smokes. I'm like honored to meet the man who's lived his life only having flown twice.
And that's been many, many years ago. Before the you know, the searching and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, like before 9/11?
Uh-huh.
Holy smokes,
just,
man.
As a matter of fact, one time I flew, I packed my bag, and of course, I don't know how it happened, but there were a big pair of scissors, shears, in my bag. And at the time, they still had the x-ray, and they saw it, and they're like, go ahead. No problem.
We trust ya.
Nah, just, you know, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Oh my God, and they just let you go.
And I was like, Yeah, but this was like when I was, I think in fifth grade or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, going to California.
Oh, see, those liberals out there.
Yeah, so, yeah, but no, I haven't been in recently, no.
Oh, my gosh, Bri. Mm. Well, you know, it's interesting because the TSA, you'd think it would be like a universal, like the laws are set and each TSA station follows the exact same laws across the country, right? Like, but it's not. I mean, it's very variable. Like, I went on a trip once not long ago, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, and I had like a corkscrew in my carry-on by accident. I didn't mean to, but it was like one of those spiral corkscrews with a big, like the long pointy end. And I mean, if I wanted to use it as a weapon, I could, but I flew out and like nobody even mentioned it to me. Like, didn't even realize that I had it. But when I was coming home, it was a big thing. Like, they treated it like I had a weapon in my suitcase. Yeah, I know. I'm a very, very scary person.
Well, what did they do? They took it from you?
They took it. So they give you the option of either going back to the line where you check your luggage and, like, check it, or they throw it away. So I'm like, I mean, it's a $5 corkscrew. I'm not going to go back and line. And so they just tossed it. But I think just over the summer, like, I travel with a I take a fiber supplement, and it's the powder, you know, so it's like in the big powder tin, jug, whatever, it's plastic thing, container, that's what I'm looking for. And both ways, they stopped me and searched my carry-on and, like, tested the powder for, I don't know what, drugs or explosives, like, I don't know what they're testing for when they have a little swab, and they swab it down, and then they put it in a machine, and it tells you if you're good to go or if it's a danger. But, I mean, it took 15 minutes to get through the line because they had to pull my bag out, pull me aside, and then you have to stand in line behind all the other people who are getting busted for contraband, and it's just an ordeal.
Yeah,
so anyway.
Well, that's why I don't fly. I'd rather stay home and watch sports.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess we should mention this. This is the first show.
Right.
First show in a while.
Yes. Hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, because somebody was not able to do what they were supposed to do, but we won't mention who that is.
Yeah, we won't. We won't. It's fine. It'll be a mystery.
Yeah.
There was good reason behind it, though, so we'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But hopefully you enjoyed. And in one of the shows that we did run, which was A rerun.
Don't say anything.
Don't
tell anybody.
Yes. You were talking about the Bears and the Bears in the Hall of Fame game. Why are they there?
Right.
3-1, baby.
I know. I've actually been paying attention.
Yeah.
I was really impressed, and they annihilated Tampa Bay last weekend.
Yeah.
So that's a beauty. You must be very proud.
Well, I celebrated by having a small libation.
All right. You could have had a big libation. It would have been okay.
Yes, but it was just a small one. It was just a little beer.
Aww.
A little traditional beer that was popular many, many years ago.
Nice.
Hadn't had for a while. So it was good. I don't know. You're not a beer drinker. So
I'm not much of a drinker in general. So, I told you about the Blue Moons I still have in my refrigerator from 14 months ago. It's okay.
Blue Moon.
Yeah.
With orange slices.
Oh, we talked about this last week, so our audience didn't hear about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have Blue Moon in my refrigerator that's 14 months old, and then you and I had a discussion about how you don't like Blue Moon, and I do like Blue Moon, but that's because I like lighter beers and you like the heavier, darker beers.
I like the song.
Right.
Blue Moon.
Oh, see, there you go.
There you go. But for people who are more like me, and I don't know, do you drink wine?
Mm-hmm. I drink wine.
Okay, well, then you might be interested to know that at the end of the month coming up, just before Halloween, it's time for Sips for Sight.
Yes! Yes, that was a heck of a segue, too.
It was?
Very nice.
Oh, you're
props to you. Props to you.
But
do tell.
The date, I don't know if we haven't been on, so we haven't been talking about it, but the date now is Wednesday, October 24th. The Erie Cafe, 536 West Erie Street, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. That'll be enough time to sufficiently quench your thirst.
Enjoy your libations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
$40 each for tickets, or $350 for 10 tickets. So there'll be beer and wine. Don't know much about wine, but beer, I could do a paragraph.
No. Nice.
And spirits tasting, so you have a chance to taste stuff, and there'll be heavy appetizers.
Yeah, you said that last week. I still don't know what a heavy appetizer is.
Well,
you hear appetizer, you hear light appetizer, but I've never heard the term heavy appetizer.
I don't know. I guess maybe they're plentiful.
Okay.
Maybe not the weight, but
right.
And then a drink ticket. So I'm not really sure how that comes into play. But complimentary valet parking is available, and proceeds from the event will benefit Lighthouse Children's Program. So you have a chance to put that on your calendar. It's presented by the Chicago Lighthouse Junior Board. Sips for Sight, Wednesday, October 24th, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., the Erie Cafe.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, what, 2.5 weeks away or so? We are, what are we? We're on October 6th, 7th? 6th.
6th.
Yeah, October 6th. So 20, no, not quite. Yes, 2.5 weeks. We'll go with that. I'm not going to try to do math quick off the top of my head.
Well, you're usually good at it, but as I like to say, Rocktober.
Rocktober. I love it. Cool. Anything else going on? Who do we have today?
Well, on the shoe, the first show back is Emily Harris. She's the executive director of the ADA 25 Advantage Leadership.
Mm.
And I sat down with her and I did an interview with her. And she's a very lovely lady. And what they're trying to do is find folks with disabilities to participate in a fellowship program so that they'll be available to service leaders in, you know, various capacities.
Is this through the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities?
Yeah, it's associated. It's
right.
An idea that Commissioner Karen Tamley is also involved in. And, you know, we'll sit down and talk to her, and I think folks will be interested.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything Karen's behind is usually a pretty, kind of turns to gold. So
mm-hmm.
it'll be a good event and a good cause.
And then we have, well, you know, there was a gentleman from Iowa while we were on hiatus. He called in and said, where's the new show?
Oh, we have a fan.
Well, maybe he didn't talk like that, but
but in our mind, in our imagination.
Well, that's how I felt about it. But,
right.
Yeah, he was interesting. He likes to hear your stories.
Oh.
And he wants to hear about the latest technology from Luke and also what's highly recommended. So all of those things are here for you.
They're all here for you, friend from Iowa.
And I would mention his name, except I was told he called, but I wasn't told his name. But we just know that he's from Iowa and he's listening. So thank you for that, sir.
Well, please call in again and let us know your name.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have his name.
Oh.
I just didn't get it before we hit the air.
Oh, okay. Got it.
All right.
Got
so,
it.
Yeah, thank you for that, sir. So all of those things are in line. And I guess we can
Moving.
Yeah, get it all started.
All right, friends. We'll get this party started. Hang in there. Sit tight. Enjoy your breakfast. Enjoy your coffee. And we will be right back with Emily Harris right after this.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
With me now on the Beacon is Emily Harris, Executive Director of the ADA 25 Advancing Leadership Program. Welcome to the show this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. My pleasure to be here.
Now, the ADA 25 Advancing Leadership, exactly what is that?
We are a leadership program for people with disabilities. Our vision is that people with disabilities in the Chicago region will lead with power and influence, both in the civic life of Chicago and also by advancing in their careers. And we host an annual leadership institute and also have a civic connections program where we help people to connect with boards and other opportunities.
Okay, so folks with disabilities will have an opportunity to learn leadership skills?
Yes. So right now we have applications open for our 2019 Leadership Institute, which is a one-year program that helps emerging leaders learn both leadership skills, but also in the context of disability identity. So we ask questions around not only who am I as a leader, but when I walk into the room with my disability identity, what does that mean for how people perceive me, how it shapes my ability to be a leader, and also whose shoulders do I stand on in terms of coming from a long history of disability leadership and the disability rights movement.
So people with disabilities, how would they apply for this fellowship?
Our applications are online. They're on our website at ADA25Chicago.org. It's a fairly simple application. It requires a few questions about your demographics, who you are, two or three short essays, and then we ask everybody to have two nominations. So somebody who knows them well and can attest to their experience as a leader in any context. We're looking for people who are emerging leaders who have worked in their communities, so maybe the head of a block club or can otherwise show leadership skills, all the way up to somebody who might be a manager in a corporation and be on a committee there or serve in a community organization.
Now, is there a stipend that goes along with the fellowship or...?
No, actually, we do charge a modest tuition. There are scholarships available, but there is a fee.
Okay, and what's the curriculum like? What would they be learning?
So in our retreat, which is really the heart of where that happens, the first few days are focused on a combination of disability rights history and then also basic leadership skills. So we find most leaders need to really understand themselves and who they are, and then how to make a leadership plan to build their long-term plans for moving forward. We look at things like influencing styles. We look at sort of self-assessment, and then how you work in a group, how you make use of mentors, and sharing stories of personal identity and what that means when you walk into the room as a leader.
Okay, and how many folks are you hoping to sign up for this program?
Between 16 and 20.
Okay, and you're limited to that?
Yeah, you can't go higher than 20.
Well, what about folks who also want to develop leadership skills, but for whatever reason, maybe you don't get their application in time, they do not make this program? What would you recommend to them?
Well, I think they should keep an eye on us. Again, ADA25Chicago.org. We have an annual program. We have a number of people who have applied several times, and because we look for a very diverse class, looking for people with all kinds of disabilities, ranging from invisible disabilities to like mental illness or learning disabilities to people who are blind, people who are deaf or hard of hearing, people who may have a mental health disability. And then we look across race, ethnicity, and also what kind of work they do, where they live in Chicago or the suburbs. So sometimes it's hard to pick the class, and it might have nothing to do with whether somebody's actually a leader or not. Mm-hmm. So we do encourage people to reapply and also to consider us, because we do have some other kinds of programs for people over the course of the year.
Now, I was reading that your overall goal is that you're looking for to at some point get as many as 300 people in leadership positions here in Chicago?
Absolutely.
Well, how many would you estimate are in those positions now?
Probably about 150. It's a very back-of-the-envelope estimate. Mm-hmm. We're looking at things like nonprofit board positions, positions on ADA advisory committees, and other things like that. I think there's probably way more than 150, and we can do way more than 300, because as you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people with disabilities in the Chicago region. Mm-hmm. The problem is counting, and we don't all stand up to be counted all the time. And also, a lot of these entities don't necessarily track this dimension of diversity. But in terms of what we can count and what we hope we can do, we hope to double the number by 2020. We really are focused on emerging leaders, people who are ready to grow as leaders rather than people who are already established like a CEO. One of the interesting things that's happened, because as you know, Brian, you can acquire disability at any time in your life. Mm-hmm. So we've had young people who were born with their disabilities, who have one young woman who founded an organization to train service dogs when she was in graduate school and came to us in her 20s. And was in the same class with a 65-year-old PhD in neuroepidemiology.
How long has the ADA 25AL been in existence, and where did the idea come from?
We were founded in 2015 during the, and that's why we're called ADA 25. We were founded in honor of the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And our mission really is to support two of the fundamental principles of that act, which are full participation and equal opportunity. The idea came initially from Commissioner Karen Tanley from the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, who has been working in this field for many years and said, you know, there's really not a bench of people who are ready to lead. When I get a call from the mayor's office and they want somebody on their employment task force all the way up to the CTA board, I have to go, Karen would say she'd have to go through her Facebook page to try to find people. Where other identity groups, African-American community, the LGBTQ community, others have leadership programs where they're actually training people and have sort of a pipeline. That didn't exist for the disability community. And so that was really the fundamental idea. How could we get people both trained but also become that resource where when somebody's looking for the right person, we have a list?
Well, I have to say, capital idea.
Thank you.
And the final thing is, if you could remind people again how they can apply for the fellowship.
Absolutely. It's online, ada25chicago.org. It's a simple online application. You can also download it as a Word document if needed. And we do have a deadline coming up. It's October 23rd. So, as I said, it's fairly easy, but don't wait till the last minute. When you first go on, you just put in your name, some basic demographics, and then who are your nominators. We will then send out a form to those two nominators and give you access to the three short essay questions you have to answer.
And I'm confused. Now, you did say there was a fee. Was there a fee for the application or a fee to be in the program?
Once you're accepted, there is a fee to be involved in the program. But again, we do offer scholarships. Some people pay very minimal amounts, all the way up to somebody who's a corporate employee might pay $3,000, their company might pay $3,000, which is still a whole lot less than the cost of the program.
And she's the executive director of ADA 25 Advancing Leadership, and they're looking for folks with disabilities to participate in a fellowship program that will teach them the skills they need to be available to lead. I guess, in certain circumstances. And that's Emily Harris. Thanks very much for coming on The Beacon. We appreciate your information, and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks. And one more time, ada25chicago.org.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at your strength because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans. Get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Beacon. You know that Lainey was a very interesting interview with Ms. Harris.
It was.
And I hope folks take advantage of that for all the reasons that she talked about in the interview.
Well, it's an important service. Mm-hmm. And it's when these types of programs are successful, they lead to other types of programs that are similar. Conversely, if they're unsuccessful, then oftentimes they, you know, they don't get the momentum needed. So they're very valuable, very important program. So it would be wonderful to see it succeed.
That's correct.
Love it. And love it or leave it. Love it. Brett and Sandy are back.
Yes, they are.
Brand new segment, Brett and Sandy. Heading into fall, we have a million activities going on over the summer that they recommend. But fall, you know, gets a little bit more, got to get a little more creative with our time. So we'll hear what Brett and Sandy have to recommend for this brisk fall weather.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate for Halloween.
Beautiful.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we are glad to be back with another segment of It's Highly Recommended with Sandy Murillo
and Brett Shishka. We're going to get into a review of Little Shop of Horrors that I went to go and check out at Oakbrook Terrace and Drury Lane.
Out at the good old Drury Lane, huh?
Yes. It's a fun theater. Have you ever been there before?
No, but I was actually going to I didn't tell you this earlier, but we recently had our flair event at the Lighthouse and a nice silent auction, which had some tickets to the Drury Lane. I bid on those, and I have two tickets for any performance.
Oh, very nice.
Choice, so. Yes. I'll have to listen to your review and see if maybe that, you know, convinces me.
Sounds good. Well, Little Shop of Horrors is actually based off of a movie from the 1960s, and this is a musical that they basically turned from the movie version into a stage version. And so there's lots of 60s style music in it, some doo-wops, kind of telling the story. They have these three kind of like, I guess you could consider them like almost like the Supremes, where these three young ladies are kind of telling a story. They kind of see things that are going on within Skid Row. That's where this is located. You have Seymour, who finds this plant that on a full moon night, and as the story moves on, he actually realizes that the plant itself is actually a man-eating, it feeds off of man and blood.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
It's a carnivorous plant. And so he finds this out because he ends up getting cut one time by a thorn on like another plant in this mm-hmm. in this flower shop.
Okay.
And this flower shop is about ready to close because they just don't have any business. So Seymour decides to recommend maybe putting these weird, different-looking plants, which is this carnivorous plant is, it looks different. So he decides to put it in the front window. And as he's feeding this plant, it continues to grow. It gets bigger and bigger. And then eventually it starts to talk to him. It's actually, the name of it is called Audrey 2. Based off of the girl that Seymour is in love with. Mm-hmm. So he names it the Audrey 2. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, very fun, enjoyable play. We had Martin Wilde as the audio describer out that night.
He's fabulous.
And he did a really good job. I gave him some notes that night. What happens is sometimes with musicals, audio description can sometimes get lost. Yeah. In the music.
Yes, absolutely.
And so his dynamics kind of went a little bit lower in the first act, that when music was getting a little bit louder, he didn't really adjust his volume of his voice.
Mm.
So that was the only kind of note I gave to him on that night. And so that's something that I don't know if a lot of people do when they go to these audio describe performances, is actually giving notes to the audio describers. I know quite a few of them personally. I talk to them pretty regularly when I'm out at the shows, and we talk on the phone and through emails, and they want to hear our feedback. Yes, you want to be as nice as possible, but they want the service to be geared towards us. We are the ones using them. So I would say that that's like my minor note, kind of getting off topic of the play. But
no, but you brought up a good topic, Brett, because I know that a few weeks ago we actually had a special visitor here at Chris, Bridget, and Bridget will have to forgive me. I don't remember her last name at the moment, but she does the description, the audio
Bridget
descriptions.
Bridget Milton.
Bridget Milton. Thank you,
yes.
Brett.
Mm-hmm.
She does the audio descriptions for the Broadway and Chicago plays, Hamilton, and, you know, a lot of the plays. If, mm-hmm. Does she do it for all of them? Or?
Yep. She is the one that does all of the performances for Broadway and Chicago. I've been out to... Yeah. A number of shows, and she's always coming and looking for me after the show, or maybe it's between, you know, an intermission time. So she's always looking for some type of feedback to continue to improve her craft, because she does take it very, very personally and close to her heart that she wants to be the best at what she does.
And it's like she was saying during her visit that, you know, a lot of... patrons will she'll ask them, well, how did I do? And everyone will be, well, a lot will be like, oh, you did good.
But, right.
You know, which is nice. You know, it's a nice compliment to get. But
right.
You need that feedback, you know, as with anything. And, you know, it's an art to be able to, you know, audio describe something that is, you know, a good and, you know, description that is easy to understand, easy to hear.
Right.
So that's why they need that feedback from all of us.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, Martin's always good, and he didn't realize that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't. Like, you think you're doing a really good job, and until somebody, like, points it out to you, you don't realize that you actually were decreasing your volume instead of upping your volume
exactly.
with your voice at a time when music was getting really loud. So,
yeah.
Like, these minor things helped in the second act for me to really get what was going on, because... It's such a fun, enjoyable musical. It's a light, it's a lighter one, but it's also still like, it's a horror
yeah.
comedy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have too many of those, but it's so fun. The music is great.
Sure.
It's, like I said, it's that 60s style, like doo-wop music. And they used a puppet for the carnivorous plant. And I'm not going to give away everything.
Of course.
But... It does grow, and they're very imaginative in the way that they continue to make this grow and interact with the characters as they move on throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite character actually was the plant. The first part of the play, when the plant isn't like interacting with anyone other than just with like nodding or moving around little by little,
yeah.
The play was okay. Then once you get about half hour, 45 minutes in, and the plant starts interacting with Seymour, the lead character, that's when this play just takes off, and you just can't help but have a big smile on your face. You're just rocking out to some good music. And Drury Lane's actually one of the best theaters I've been to sound-wise. So they have speakers all over this entire theater.
Okay.
So, like, I've been there for South Pacific, and when, like, the planes were flying overhead, it sounded like the planes were flying over my head. And so the music sounds really great. The only downside to Drury Lane, to me, is the seats are pretty old. So if you have a chance, bring yourself maybe like a sweatshirt with you that you can sit on, some type of padding to give yourself a little bit extra cushion. That's just a note from being at, I've probably been about 10 plays now at Drury Lane in the last couple of years. So that's my only note to them is whenever they can get a chance to upgrade their seats. That would be my recommendation for other other than that, it's a great theater to go to. They have really great food. There's a bar right outside the theater, so you can be able to enjoy some drinks if you want to. The food is a little bit on the pricey side, but it's a really nice theater. I do recommend going and checking out the next play. Actually, is Beauty and the Beast.
That is actually what I am seriously contemplating on going and checking out with my tickets.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's going to be a very, very popular one. Yeah. So I believe it opens November 15th and goes all the way through January. I want to say it's like middle of January or something like that. So you got some time. But this play, The Little Shop of Horrors, goes all the way through October 28th. So you got, you know, for the Halloween season, if you want something spooky and fun, Little Shop of Horrors, I highly recommend it. Go and check it out, everybody.
Absolutely. Now, Brett, you and I have talked about, you know, the accessibility at Drury Lane.
Yes.
But some of our listeners might not be aware that Drury Lane does offer audio description. I know I wasn't until, you know, you started going to the plays and telling me all about it. Could you talk to us a little bit?
Yeah. So basically, the way that audio description works at Drury Lane is you just want to call them up, call their box office up. And you tell them you want audio description.
Okay.
If they don't know exactly at the box office, you can ask to talk to, like, a stage manager or normally there's, like, a house manager, and they'll be able to get you in contact with somebody. But they won't just want about 2-3 weeks' notice. To be able to get the schedule worked out with the audio describers, because there's only a few of them out there.
Of course.
There's only, like, maybe 5, I think, that are really are out there, and like 3 of them are regular. Like Martin, Bridget Melton, and then there's Jack Miggins, who does a lot of the Steppenwolf stuff, and then you have Jason Harrington, who does all of the Shakespeare Theater stuff. And then there's a few others that sprinkle in here and there. They're getting there, but yeah, they have to check the schedules to make sure that it's not overlapping with another date that they already have.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why you need a little bit notice. You can't just go tomorrow and say, I'm going to go to Drury Lane. You actually have to give them a couple weeks notice for them to be able to get you an audio describer for the performance you want to check out at Drury Lane.
Well, and I think for most of us, I mean, when with something like theater, you know, we, at least personally, I like to plan it ahead of time, you know, at least a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So. Yeah, if you want to, like, get just a group of friends together, normally doing it within a couple days is not normally feasible for most people. So having a couple weeks isn't really that big of a deal. And a lot of the Drury Lane stuff is there for, it seems like it's pretty close to 2 months. So you got some time to play with. So that's the way to do audio description. They do have the same headset that you use for audio description. If you have a hard of hearing or you're hearing impaired, that same headset that they use for audio description, they also, you switch a channel and it'll actually give you the audio even louder into your ears directly.
Oh, okay.
So they do have that if you're hearing impaired. Wheelchair accessibility, I believe you shouldn't really have too many issues. I think that they have like an entrance near the stage that they would actually take you down over there.
Okay.
Because there is some stairs in each aisle, but they also, I've sat in the accessible seating and you would just be at the top of the house, which my dad, he explained to me when we went to go see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, that the seats are nice and comfortable. They actually give you a little bit more room, and they're nice folding chairs that you can kind of give yourself a little bit more room. So if you're a taller person and you need some extra leg room, the accessible seats are actually the way to go.
Ah, that's a good pointer.
Yep.
Well, that about does it for us today, Brett. You know, the time flew by.
We'll be back again next week with some more great content. I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And you've been listening to The Lighthouse Beacon on WCPT AM 820.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Welcome back to The Beacon. I'm Lainey Kleeman here with...
Brian Hawkins.
And you are listening to The Beacon on 820 AM WCPT. Well, there you go. Halloween-inspired... Highly recommended. Ooh, that time I was losing my words. Halloween inspired. It's highly recommended. Right?
That's true.
Yeah. Come on back, my friend. You got to introduce me for my next segment.
Well, you know, I'm going to do that. But okay. I was thinking about the previous segment that you did. You used to do the healthy eating.
Yes. Let us turn up the beat.
Yes.
Yes, I did.
And the American Academy of Ophthalmology... came up with research that showed that the Mediterranean diet prevents a leading cause of blindness. It suggests,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
And there's mounting evidence that a poor diet plays an important role, but I thought we already knew that, yeah. Of age-related macular degeneration. So, folks, if you want to check into that, American Academy of Ophthalmology, you can look for that research. And... the Mediterranean diet that emphasizes what? Eating less meat and more fish, vegetables, fruits, legumes. I like saying that word.
Legumes. It's a good word. It's
unrefined grains and olive oil.
Yes.
And you were an olive oil enthusiast, weren't you?
I don't know if I've ever been an enthusiast of olive oil. I use it regularly, but I don't recall. But, I've gone through phases over the decade we've been on the air. You might remember better than I do, to be honest with you, about
Ladies
my...
Lounge?
Oh, yes.
Let
That's
us
the
turn
OG.
Up the beat.
That's right.
Yes, and yes, now...
We've evolved.
The
and now,
awe factor.
Thank you, my friend. Every night for the last 10 years, a community has made sure that a woman in a wheelchair gets to bed. This community is setting a new standard for what it means to love thy neighbor. Every night for the last 10 years, the people of Sandy, Utah have taken turns making sure that Kathy Felt gets to bed safely and comfortably. Aww. Since she has multiple sclerosis, she has slowly lost control of her motor functions. And as her disease progressed, she's lost the ability to get out of bed in the morning. And it seems as though she would need to be checked into a nursing home. But Keith Pugmire was not willing to let his neighbor be forced out of her home due to her disease, so he recruited the help of 60 people in the neighborhood to volunteer their assistance. Can you imagine that? Like one man rallying to get 60 people together.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it's a commitment, too, you know, because it's, I'll get through the rest of the story. Pugmire orchestrated a rotating schedule in which two people show up at Felt's house in the evening so they can lift her out of her wheelchair and into bed. They remove her socks, cover her with her blankets, and turn off the light before leaving the house. In the morning, Felt's son arrives to take care of her throughout the day. But in the evening, when he has to go back to his life, the neighborhood people pick up the slack. And 10 years later, they are still volunteering, and Felt still gets emotional over the miracle of her compassionate neighborhood. So that's really a commitment to this has been going on for 10 years that they've been on a rotating schedule doing this.
And were these people that he knew? I mean, how do you approach someone and say, hey, look, I need some help here. Can you do this?
Maybe in small, tight-knit communities where, and I don't know, I'm just making an assumption here, but in communities where, you know, the whole town goes to the same church or the whole, you know, there's a relationship that develops between members of small towns. And maybe that's, you know, that's just kind of what this is. And honestly, if he did it, say 60 men he recruited or 60 people he recruited.
Mm-hmm.
So two people a night, that's a, you know, one night a month that you make this commitment to help this woman so that she can stay in her home, which, I would do that in a heartbeat if somebody approached me saying, hey, look, we're going to do a rotating schedule for this person in need. And it's a one night a commitment a month. And it sounds like it's, you know, probably a half hour of their time. It doesn't sound like it's a very taxing commitment. And it's changed the course of this woman's life. It's kept her out of a nursing home. She's able to stay in her own home and live her life as independently as she can. And her son does the caretaking during the day. And then the community comes together in the evening to help her, you know, to help maintain a quality of life that she has become accustomed to without sacrificing her health and well-being and putting her in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome.
Well, I think that's a model that other folks can follow.
Agreed.
And then, you know, the community helping itself.
Yes.
It takes a village, they say.
It does.
So
we can't do it alone. We're not meant to do it alone. We're not meant to be on this earth, walking this earth without help, support, companionship, guidance, friendship. I mean, you know, when the door opens and somebody is standing there looking to help or offering to help, then, you know, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is this week's It's Not, It's Highly Recommended. Where are we? The Awe
Factor. Well, we highly recommend The Awe Factor.
We highly recommend The Awe Factor. Very nice, Brian.
So there you go for the gentleman in Iowa. And we're going to find out your name, I promise you. And hopefully you enjoyed that story.
Love thy neighbor, friends.
Yes,
love thy neighbor.
Just gets better because coming up is something else that a lot of listeners love. And that is Luke's Laboratory. And we're going to go in and find out. And I guess because we have been on hiatus, there have been a lot of things that have come to pass that he will be able to update us on. So let's get right to it. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
I am doing good. The weather is changing, but I am keeping positive and finding some nice indoor tasks to do. So keeping busy.
Yeah, this is, I guess, the rainy season for Chicago.
Indeed.
But the topic of date, and there's a lot of folks who've been wanting to find out, what's the latest in technology, adaptive technology?
Well, the latest that I want to talk about this week is RevoSight from Zumax. And Zumax are a company from Asia who make assistive technology. And they are coming out with not one, not two, but three new wearables. And the first of those is called RevoSight. And I was very lucky to get hands-on time with it at the start of the week. I was the first person in the United States to get that exposure. And I came away quite impressed.
So what exactly does this do?
So imagine a visor that goes in front of the eyes, sort of like a welding visor, but not quite as large. And inside the visor are two electronic screens. And of course, there is a camera in the front. And what's happening is we are looking into the electronic screens. We are seeing whatever the camera is looking at. And we are able to zoom in and zoom out, increase the contrast, change the colors, and so on and so forth, using the control panel, which is connected. And there are other wearable devices like this available. For example, eSight is a very well-known one. There is New Eyes, there is the Geordi, there is Iris Vision, so there's a number of these on the market. But RevoSight is the latest and possibly the greatest. That will depend on what the clients think, but from my own personal view, I thought it worked very well. The screens are nice and large, and one of the great features of it is that you can walk while still wearing it, which the only other wearable which you can do that with currently is eSight, and eSight costs $10,000. This is probably going to cost somewhere around $5,000, so about half of that price. And it also has another very cool feature, which is kind of a line outlining mode. It's quite hard to describe, but if you turn on this mode, it will put bold black outlines around the things that you're looking at to make them stand out more. The best way to think about it is a comic strip where they are making the characters stand out by giving them broad black outlines. It does that, but to the live video, so whatever you're looking at is highlighted. And I haven't seen that before, and I was quite impressed with that feature. So those people, particularly with central vision loss, who are looking for an electronic pair of glasses that can help them see things better in the distance, see things better up close, then this might be the right tool for them.
And is this something that can be demonstrated at the Tool for the Living store here at the Lighthouse?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Now, it hasn't actually released yet, so I got my hands on it before it had even released, but it is slated to release around the end of October, so the end of this month. And as soon as we get it, then we will be putting it up onto our website. I will be making a YouTube video on it. And at that point, people will be able to come and try it out for themselves. And I would very much encourage people to do so, because it's always nice to get your hands on the latest technology. And also, you know, if it works for you, then it could be a very versatile tool to allow you to do a number of different things.
Okay. And what else? Any other products out there that you want to mention?
There is a kind of interesting handheld electronic device called the Visolux 12, which we've had for, I want to say 2 or 3 months now. It's a 12-inch portable electronic magnifier, and 12 inches is very large as far as portable electronic electronic magnifiers go. And the thing that's kind of interesting about this one is you can use it to view things in the distance, which other handheld electronic magnifiers can also do. But this particular one, you actually use a camcorder on a tripod that plugs into the Visolux with an HDMI cable. And now you're using the Visolux's screen to view the image from the camcorder. Sounds kind of weird, but the great thing about it is the quality of the image for distance viewing is really, really good, because it's using the camcorder's magnification. And so you get a lot of zoom, and it's a good quality picture. Definitely the best zoom for distance that I've seen on any handheld. And so for those people, maybe students who need to see the whiteboard, or say that you're a teacher and you need to see the students putting their hands up when you're teaching, then you could point the camera toward them and see them. So various different applications like that, I think it could be really useful.
All right. And you've had all week. Is there anyone, any particular customer that stood out to you?
We do. We have a customer of the week. And this week it is a lady by the name of Haley Pelletier. And she is from Chicago. And she's only 17 years old. And she has been visually impaired for most of her life. And she actually came twice over the last 2 weeks, once to see RevoSight when I had it here, and then again to see eSight and Iris Vision. So she had a look at all of the wearable devices, and she's already familiar with a number of different assistive technology devices. Being younger, of course, she is quite keen on various different types of technology. And we spent quite a bit of time doing things like trying watching TV with these devices, trying to read with these devices, trying to walk around with these devices, and her results seem to be that she actually found the RevoSight to be the best out of all of those, which was interesting. We had a lot of fun together, and it was a pleasure to work with her.
All right, Haley. All right, thanks for coming by. And I guess pretty soon you're going to be shutting down the roadshows, but you still have a few left, right?
Yes, so sadly, it is coming to the end of the roadshow season, as will happen every year as it starts to get a bit colder. But we have at least two left, possibly three. I'm still trying to confirm the third one. But the next one that we have is actually next week, and it's going to be on Tuesday of next week, and it's at Palos Hills Community Center. The address for that is 8455 West 103rd Street in Palos Hills. And as usual, we will be bringing out a selection of our assistive technology, as well as a number of the smaller daily living items, which can be useful, like large print calendars and talking calculators and large print keyboards and all of those types of things. So if you would like to see what types of things are available, then please drop on by anytime between 10:30 and 3 o'clock.
He's Luke Scriven. And this has been Luke's Laboratory. Thanks very much for coming in, Luke. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
Right here on The Beacon.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Well, that wraps up our Welcome Back show after our summer hiatus. Many thanks to Brett and Sandy for their It's Highly Recommended feature, and hope you can get out and enjoy all that the beautiful fall has to offer. And many thanks to Dr. Janet Slick, who helps keep the show up and running week after week. We wouldn't be here without her and are always very grateful for her and for you, our listeners. So that'll do it for us this week. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Enjoy the Bears. Oh, no, Bears have a bye this week. Never mind. Wah, wah.
They do?
They do. See, even I know that. You didn't know that? I win. Enjoy, friends. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.